The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. Now, while they were perplexed by this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood among them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. You may be seated. Well, the worst has happened. God is dead. The Lord nailed up like some macabre memo. In night's darkness, when evil lingers and vestiges of sin persist, while it was still dark, they came. While it was still dark, they came to grieve the dead. Seeing the horrors of the cross, they presume death's finality. But presumptions prevent perception. Presuming what is real leads us to see only that which supports our presumptions and thus creates its own distorted reality. Presuming what is real misses the signs of a different actuality. Presumptions prevent perception. A cross, a last gasp, a limp body, a closed tomb, definite death, but presumed end. While it was still dark, the Lord stirs and life awakens. In Chester County, Pennsylvania, just a few miles from our former home, are several colonial-era mansions built from a strange green stone called serpentine. The stones are from a rare geological formation, and there are only three such of the formations in all of North America. And Chester County has 340 acres of the stone. And the place where they were once mined is called the Chrome Serpentine Barrens. It is barren because the green color is caused by a concentration of chromium and magnesium. And the concentrations are so high that common plants of North America cannot survive in the soil. The soil is poisonous to plants, a barren land of death. And yet, when I drove past that place, the hills were covered with foliage. Green grass and colorful flowers and dense bushes thrive. Certain plants had adapted to the high concentrations of minerals and flourish in the barrens. The serpentine aster is found nowhere else in the world but in that corner of Chester County and a few places in Virginia. Shrubs and grasses and flowering plants, unusual and beautiful, thrive and grow in spite of barren death. I tell of the serpentine barrens to demonstrate that there is a force more powerful than death. That all around us are examples of a force that is irrepressible, unstoppable, unrelenting, and inevitable. And that force is life. And life is more powerful than death. And life is stronger than death's threats. And life is unavoidable. What causes the shoots of crocuses to push through frozen ground? And what pulls buds out of tree branches? And what forms babies in mother's wombs? There is a wonderful force that death cannot contain, and that force is life. And life is the very breath of God, and life is the power of God. You know, we often ask in despair, why is there so much suffering and evil in the world? Why do good, faithful, loving people suffer? Why is there so much destruction and devastating war and injustice and cruelty? You know, these grieve God too. But why do we not ask a more strange and bizarre question? Why do we not ask, why is there so much goodness in the world? Why do we not ask, how has it come to be that there are so many kind people in the world? Why do we not ask, why is there love? If the world is so corrupt, then any goodness and mercy and love and kindness is truly strange. Why is there life? If all things decay and die, why does anything live at all? Why, after all these millions of years, has not everything just died off? There is a force more powerful than death in this world. There is a strength more powerful than evil. And that force, that strength, is life. Life is the power of God. The power of God creating anew every spring. The power of God caring and nurturing and protecting life. The power of God redeeming and correcting and restoring. The power of God reconciling friends. The power of God that is life itself. And so is it so strange that a rock-solid tomb and certain death could not keep its grip on Jesus? I have seen 500-pound concrete slabs of sidewalk heaved by mere tree roots. And so is it so strange that a rock sealing a tomb, a rock that took three strong, strapping soldiers to set in place, the women find rolled back? There is a force that is irrepressible, irresistible. On our little lot of our present home, we have a dozen large, healthy maple trees, and each spring they shower our lawn with helicopter seeds. And every summer I pull up hundreds of maple shoots from flower beds and garden and bushes and rain gutters. The seeds are driven to live, unstoppable and unrelenting and inevitable. They insist on sprouting and living, and so is it so strange the linen clothes binding Jesus that are set aside no longer needed? Is it so strange that this irrepressible force called life, a force that death cannot stop, is it so strange this force is in us too? And that death cannot stop our own life? Why is it so different? Why is it that people so very different, with different histories and values and different points of view, can commit to each other as a congregation like this one? How is it that so many people who can belong to each other? There's a force unstoppable called life, which is manifest in the loving care we give each other and is found in the common everyday act of forgiving. It is a driving force that will not let death's despair drive us apart. It is a force that will not let differences divide. It is a force that will not let harsh words spoken in haste bar belonging in this sacred space. And so is it so strange that Jesus arose? Is it so strange that Jesus forgives those who wronged him? And is it so strange that Jesus appears to those he loves? Why do we assume that death is final? Why do we think that all comes to an end? Two men in dazzling clothes appear out of nowhere. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we assume that death is final? Why do we think that we all come to an end? With all the evidence around us, why is it so hard to assume that life goes on? And why is it so hard to see this irrepressible force called life, God's power to create us in birth, continues to create us after death? You know, whenever we declare the Apostles' Creed, we confess the resurrection of the body. Not just Jesus's, but our bodies too. So do we dare dream that we shall live again? Do we dare dream of a time to come when the burdens and sorrows of this life cease and we are given the joy and peace and friends and love and belonging in another life? Do we dare perceive life and dream a different reality? Now, Easter is a celebration of life that death cannot thwart. Easter's declaration that Satan's destructive habits shall not prevail and cannot prevail. Easter is defiance of powers that oppress. Easter is defiance of words that kill the spirit. Easter is defiance of discouragement and frustration that erode the soul. Easter's declaration that a new reality has taken hold, that life will not be stopped, that goodness prevails and kindness wins. Life is irrepressible, relentless, unstoppable, inevitable. The barrens of Pennsylvania flourish with life. Maple trees and dandelions and crabgrass unrelentingly resurrect each spring. Forgiveness renews friendship. Love lives for the sake of others. Goodness and grace persist. Gentleness wins. The rock-solid tomb is but a shell. Life endures. Our life endures.